I like that melody of songs. We're going to let our kids slip off to children's worship. Take your Bibles. We're going to be reading from the book of Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And actually, we're going to read the whole chapter, which is only five verses. Okay. Now, we've been speaking a series of messages, and we will continue to do this today, on values that last. We are missing some core values in our nation and in America, probably across the world. And so I know that many of you have appreciated, the messages, and it's drawn attention to hope for the reason that we need to be praying and maybe looking at our own lives and see, is that affecting me, or are these affecting me in some way? Today we're going to preach on the message that's entitled Maintaining Balance. Maintaining balance. Would you stand if you have the scripture this morning, if you're able to stand in reverence to the reading of God's word? Let me say while you're standing, it's good to have our brother from Gideon's, Brother Daniels, with us this morning. Brother Daniels is an active member in his church at First Baptist. Brother Travis Coleman, a great man down there. Brother Travis has a few years up on me here, meaning that he's been here a little bit longer and probably than a lot of preachers in this town. But Brother Daniels, such a blessing to have you. You represent the Gideons and do a great job at that. Thank you for being here today. Let's read God's Word, Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let us pray together. Again, Lord, we bow before you, and we thank you for the privilege to sit under the preaching of your word. And we pray, Father, that our hearts will be in tune to the message. Whatever could be distracting to us, Lord, that could be set aside. And Lord, help us not to give way to the devil in any way that would like to disrupt. But Lord, help us to focus and be mindful, Lord, of your spirit. And Lord, I pray if there be a need to respond to the invitation, that we would do as the Spirit of God leads. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Please be seated. You'll hear special for my wife. I know it'll be a blessing. You listen as she sings.
It must have felt strange to end up stranded between an army and the sea. It must have felt forsaken, wondering why God wasn't all he said he'd be. When your back's against the wall, that's the hardest place of all. Somewhere between provision and impossibility. But God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Forever he is faithful, and he will make a road when you feel you've lost your way. I know God will make a way. When a wall of circumstances leaves you crying in the night, and you struggle till your strength is almost gone, God will gently hold you in the shelter of his heart. and carve a road for you to carry on. So carry on, travel on, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Forever He is faithful, and He will make a road when you can't bear a heavy load. I know God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Forever He is faithful, and He will make a road when you bear a heavy load. I know God will make a way.
Thank you. Appreciate that. As you have your Bibles, open again to our text, Psalm 127. Actually, our text verse today is verse 2. So I want you to focus on that verse. Verse 2 says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep." Believe that what the psalmist is saying here, although work is necessary, but without the blessings of God, it's futile. It's pointless, in other words. I want you to complete these sentences with me. I know you know the answer. Help me. First one is, I'm at the end of my what? I'm coming unglued. Okay. I'm at my wits. I'm really stressed. I'm ready to throw in the... My life is out of control. You know, we all know those answers. And why? Because sometimes we've used those phrases before. Maybe to describe our own life. And this is how that maybe some feel at times when they get out of balance. But God never intended, I believe, for our lives to be out of balance, to get that way. But yet He knows there are times that it will. That's why we have scripture passages like we've read this morning. He said it was vain or it's pointless to live life like this. So what is the alternative? Well, the alternative is that we must live every day by maintaining balance in our lives. And that's what we're going to speak on today, how to maintain balance in our life and why is it necessary. I'll give you a few things to think about. The first thing, if you're taking notes, and I believe that no doubt what we find is that to maintain balance, it requires being built around Christ, our life being built around Christ. It's so important that we do that. And by the way, perhaps we would think that this should be a given, right, preacher? We all know this. This is a given. But the truth of the matter is that many Christians, and maybe you don't fall in this category, but I dare say there are times that we all, if we're honest, do. But many Christians do not build their lives around Christ. You know, the only totally balanced person, when we think of it, who ever walked the face of the earth was Jesus Christ, when He was all God and all man. So if we will put Jesus at the center of our life, then
He teaches us how to live or how to maintain balance in our Christian life. How do you know, you might ask, how do you know when your life is centered, how do you know when your life is centered around something else? Well, it's probably good to ask ourselves, what do we think about the most? What do we think about the most? What is it that we spend most of our time on? What do we devote our resources toward sometimes? Those are good ways to think about whether maybe I'm out of balance sometimes when it comes to Christ, where Christ should be in our life. You know, we can say that what we want, but the truth is that our lives often reveal what our life is centered around. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm sure many of you know this passage, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," that is, seek His kingdom, right? "And His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, when Jesus was saying those words, obviously we are all included in that, but Jesus was actually urging the lost to seek salvation. And because he knew that when we find salvation, when we find Christ, then what comes with that is that we know that our cares and our provisions that help us in maintaining a balanced Christian life are only found in God. Now, I will say this, and I'm sure you can say this. Many in this room know Christ as Savior, but I dare say we could probably all agree that our life is much better with Jesus than without Jesus. I mean, really. Now that we've had a taste, we know what salvation is all about, I wouldn't want to live the rest of my life without Jesus. As bad as things may get sometimes, even for a believer, as tough as they get, and sometimes we think as believers, why am I going through this? I still would not want to go through whatever I go through, whether it be a trial or whatever it is in your life, I wouldn't want to go through it without Jesus. Because we need Him. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, our lives can be out of balance. Would you agree with that? Our lives can be out of balance even when things are in the center. Even when good things, are in the center. You know, maybe you feel like that your prayer life is where it should be. You know, your faithfulness to God, you're active in areas of your life that hopefully will maintain balance. But sometimes many folks put things in the place of Christ that we don't often set out to do. We don't start our day thinking, well, I'm going to set God aside and put this in God's place. Sometimes it comes in the category of a family. Many folks put family in place of God. And by the way, would you all agree that family is important? It is. But by the way, it should not be the center. Family should not be the center of our life. I know that goes against the grain of what sometimes we think, but our spouse, our children should not take the place of God. God never intended that to be the case. Others may put their vocation or their profession, and all of that is important. We love our jobs, I guess. I would hope you do, or at least you're thankful to have it. But yet, sometimes that vocation becomes more important in our life if not careful. And if not careful, it could be the main drive in our life to where it becomes the center of our life. It might be even our ministry. Preachers have to be careful of this. Be honest with you, in my early days of ministry, every young preacher starting out is gung-ho. And man, they want to succeed. But yet we have to be very careful that we don't allow ministry to become a part of our center of our life. And by the way, it's not just preachers. That can be any of us that are involved in some aspect of ministry. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher or whatever else you may do for the Lord. But ministry should not be the main drive or the center of our life. But God tells us that something more important needs to be the center of our life. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord with thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now this verse in Matthew 22 and verse 37, this verse alone speaks of the kind of love that is called for. That is, if God is going to be the center of our lives, then that's going to mean there's complete love there. What that love, he says, that is of the heart, of the soul, and of the mind. So our life, to maintain balance, it's obvious, but sometimes it gets out of whack, even to the obvious, to the believers, that Christ needs to, our lives needs to be built around Christ. The second thing that I want you to write down that helps us to maintain balance is we need to accept, listen to me, we need to accept our humanity. We need to accept our humanity, meaning that we need to stop trying to pretend sometimes that we are God. Now, if we just listen to ourselves, sometimes I think you know what I'm talking about. But we need to stop trying to pretend that I have all the answers, because sometimes we try to live our life as though we do because we don't want to be a disappointment to some or our family or people we work with. And you know what? I've had to teach myself and still do as pastor that I don't have all the answers. Sometimes people come to pastors with their problems. And you know what? Especially if I know I'm going to counsel with someone, I ask for God to give wisdom and spiritual guidance, because I'm human like you are, and we all are, but yet we realize we have to accept their times, even with our children. We don't know how to answer whatever's going on in their life or the problem, but God has the answers. He knows how to solve those problems. And sometimes it's hard for us to fess up and admit that we don't have all the answers, that we cannot meet every need and we cannot fulfill everyone's expectations. And then we must recognize our limitations. We must recognize our limitations. It's best for us to accept that God's in control and that He'll take care of things when we accept the fact that we are human. You know, it may be a family member. Some of you have some issues that maybe is going on in your family. Someone you're praying for. It may be a job matter. It may be a school matter. It may be a bill that you're getting. And, you know, health. All these things that sometimes, you know, it's out of our control because we are human. But God says we're earthen vessels. That's the way God describes us. We're earthen vessels, or we're like jars of clay. Look with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's where we get how God describes us. Do you know God says we're nothing but a piece of clay that He has molded? Now, back in the day, whenever they, you know, day of the children of Israel, and during this time, clay was an important commodity. And matter of fact, there's a verse in Scripture that describes us as believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul reminds us that God decided to place the treasure, that is the indwelling Spirit of God, inside of us. We're earthen vessels. We're jars of clay. Now, we are like clay pots. Now, think about that for a moment. If we're described as being clay pots, then really, how would you describe a clay pot in most cases? Well, they're cheap a lot of times. They're breakable. And they're replaceable. But they all serve a necessary purpose. During this time period in the Bible times, sometimes they were used to take and hide your jewelry in, or some other valuables. But I'm getting ready to disappoint you. But you know what they were used mostly for? Garbage. And God says we're clay pots. But listen, don't devalue yourself. You see, when God says we're clay pots, He sees something in us that we may not see in ourselves. We're earthen vessels. We're jars of clay. But God could have sent the Spirit of God to dwell in some majestic temple on this earth. But you know what? God chose instead to have Him dwell in us. You see, yes, we're earthen vessels. We're clay pots. But yet God says we have what is of most value. And that's the Spirit of God that's with us everywhere we go. Thank God for that. By the way, we're somebody special in God's eyes, right? But without the Spirit of God in our lives, then we're nothing. But, you know, thank God we can say, I'm a child of the King. I'm an earthen vessel. I'm a clay pot. But what makes me valuable is not me, not anything that I can do or have done, but it's all what God's done through me and who lives within me. You see, if we're to maintain balance in our lives, we must realize that we are human, nothing but clay pots, and we must depend upon God's power and God's strength and not our own. Psalm 119, verse 73. If you want to turn there, you can. But the psalmist says in verse 73 and in chapter 119, he says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." David writes here. By the way, David is simply saying that we need to remind ourselves that God is involved in our life every day. And if God is involved in our life every day, which He is, we must learn to trust in Him and depend upon Him. But we have to first accept our humanity, right? That I am nothing without God. I am dependent upon God, and therefore I need to trust Him. The third thing that we need to keep in mind in maintaining balance is that we need to sometimes make course adjustments. You ever find that being the case in your life? You have to kind of readjust your schedule or readjust your life or the steps that you take in life. I'm not much on science, and I've studied it. And matter of fact, it was not one of my favorite subjects in high school or college. I like history, but science, I was just thankful I made it through. Kind of like math. But the second law of thermodynamics says this: energy spontaneously tends to flow only from being concentrated in one place to becoming diffused or dispersed and spread out. I know you don't care about any of that, but this is illustrated by everything in nature. By the way, a good way to look at that is the Energizer Bunny. How many of you heard of the Energizer Bunny? Have you realized that's a myth? In other words, I, like you, have thrown many Energizer batteries away because they don't keep going on and on. They don't. And so, neither do we. You see, we tend to like that battery, that Energizer Bunny, that is not truthful. We like to think that we can keep going on and on. But listen, we have a tendency to slow down physically and what? Spiritually, don't we? So we need constantly to correct our course sometimes. We need that course adjustment. Some of you are fanning, so Brother Dave, help me if you would with that, all right? We need that course adjustment. Now, if we don't make adjustments, we start majoring on the minors. If we don't make that course adjustment, we major on the minors. In other words, we try keeping up with our friends or the neighbors sometimes, and we focus on materialism that will cause, if not careful, our lives to get out of balance. And it's so easy to do in the society that we live in today. And the times that we live in. Matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes, there's a couple of passages. If you want to turn there, you can. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Again, I considered all trivial and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." Now what is Solomon saying here? He says basically the lack of satisfaction with life leads some to conclude that everyone else has it better than we do. That's why sometimes we look at our neighbor and we think, man, why can't I have what they have? You know, have you noticed that sometimes those that seem to have it better are not actively involved in church or don't go to, you know, maybe they may not be a Christian, or and you're, I mean, listen, you're going to church every Sunday, you're praying, and it just seems like they're being blessed more. You know, that's what the devil would like us to focus on, isn't it? To get our life out of balance. In other words, to get us to focus on materialism that we know is obvious, that can cause us to get out of balance. Mark 8:36, you know this verse says, "For what shall it profit a man," the Lord says, "if he shall gain the whole world and he loses on his own soul?" In other words, we can easily become possessed by possessions. And sadly, I think that's where our nation has come to today. That's why sometimes even our children are not appreciative of things that they are blessed with, because they have seen mom and dad be possessed by possessions where it controls them. It gets them in debt and so forth. And nothing wrong, by the way, with having things. But if it becomes the center of our life, then there needs to be an adjustment. And we all have to learn to do that from time to time. But there's a better way. The greatest thing in life aren't things. We have to keep that in mind. Ecclesiastes says in chapter 4 and verse 6, "Better is an handful with quietness." That is, better is it one hand full of rest, in other words, than both the hands full with trivial or labor and vexation of spirit. That is, striving at the wind, in other words. So, if we don't make adjustments, then if not careful, it will be so easy to major on the minor sometimes, won't it? Thinking, well, I'm not as blessed as I should be. And matter of fact, that's why it's so easy for some to get out of church. Why am I doing this? Why am I serving God? You know, and so if not careful, we have a tendency to want to run the way of the world. But you know what? It may be that we just need to make a course adjustment, don't we? You know, we find that there are times where we just need to get along with the Lord. And that leads me to my fourth point in maintaining balance this morning. We need to nourish our inner life. If we're going to maintain balance, we have to come to a point that maybe we just realize, hey, we need to nourish that inner life. Meaning, well, have you ever heard the phrase, being on fire for God? How many of you heard that phrase before? Being on fire from God, for God. Now, here's a phrase that, as we've seen, many of have used, or maybe you've heard about it. By the way, it speaks of our passion for the things of the Lord when you hear that phrase. And by the way, years ago, some of you know this, and years ago, you used to heat your home with a wood fire or a fireplace. And some may still do that today. Now, I like that. I used to enjoy going to my grandmother's every time, you know, during Christmas and Thanksgiving. My grandmother had two fires going a lot of times. She had a wood-burning heater, I guess you'd call it, and then she had an actual fireplace. And both of them required actual wood. But I enjoyed as a kid going up there and every now and then just poking that fire. But it was just such a warm, comfortable place and so forth, and I remember all that. But you know what? As wonderful as it was, and the joy of being able to be a part of that, you have to keep in mind it took a great deal of work to have something like that. How many of you know what I mean? In other words, when you have a wood fire or a fireplace, you know, you got to take in mind that you have to go and, what, I guess some cases, cut the wood. And then you have to haul that wood and unload it and stack that wood and carry it sometimes to long distances, I guess. And they would constantly do this. And not only that, but yet when you have that going on in the house, you have to constantly monitor that and make adjustments sometimes to the damper to keep the fire burning. And by the way, the same is true with our passion for the things of God. Would you agree with that? The same is true. You know, we like the comforts of life, but yet we have to be careful that they don't become the center of our life. And sometimes the comforts are God wants us to have the comforts of life, and He does, as we'll see later. He wants us to enjoy life, but sometimes Even in the comforts of life, we have to make an adjustment, don't we? You see, we have to monitor. We have to tend to it and to keep the fire burning spiritually. Or else what happens? It grows cold. Our lives grow cold spiritually. So how do we nourish that inner life? How do we nourish the inner life? Much the same way we nourish our own physical life. We must have proper food and exercise, the two things that we don't like to talk about a whole lot. We must monitor the fire, that spiritual fire. Notice the scripture in Psalm 119 verse 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes, David says, and I will not forget thy word. Even Jesus, by the way, took time to monitor his life on the face of the earth, teaching us to do the same thing. When Jesus in Luke 5 verse 16, the Bible says here in Luke, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness. And what did he do? He prayed. He prayed. Now, if Jesus thought it was important to get away and nourish the life, our physical, our spiritual life, don't you think it's important that we do that? It's important that every day, that if we can, to rise up, get into God's Word, seek God's face, to pray. Because you see, if we find the fire, and this is often the case, and I see this sometimes as pastor, and I have to remind myself as a pastor sometimes, listen, if we find that the fire in our life has grown cold or it's growing cold, then you know what? We have to just admit that we're out of balance. We're out of balance. And what do we do to get back in balance? Well, we need to reconnect to the Lord. Doesn't mean we get saved all over again. Once saved, you're always saved. But it's so easy for a child of God to disconnect themselves from the Lord, because something becomes the center of their life or some other passion takes place. And it's so important that we feed ourselves spiritually the bread of life. The little things that sometimes, if not careful, can be neglected. Another way of maintaining balance, number five, is that we need to commit our daily schedule to God. We need to commit our daily schedule to God. All of us are busy. We live in busy times, society. Someone asked me one time a question, Pastor, how do you find the time to do what you do? Often that question is asked. I'll tell them, and I use a to-do list. But I found on that to-do list, God changes my schedule. And by the way, my to-do list is a bunch of notes that I write myself. I don't have a notepad that I carry with me. Sometimes I use my phone, and I like the part where it says notes on it, because I'm at a point I get very forgetful. Do you get that way sometimes? So I find that I'm writing myself a note to even go to the doctor sometime if need be. But anyway, I found too, even when I do that, and I can write all these notes and I put them in my vehicle, I put them on my desk, and I have them everywhere. But I found that sometimes there's an unexpected hospital call. Sometimes somebody wants to meet with the preacher. Sometimes it's worse than that. It's death. Other times it may be equipment failure. We had that here a few years ago. We had a flood in our church. I came in here on a Thursday morning after having a good Wednesday night service, came in, and the church was flooded out. As many of you know that, we had to remodel the inside of the church, and a pipe busted on the hill up here. And all that water drained into the church. And so I'd already had a full schedule that day. School was getting ready to kick off. I had bus meetings to go to that day. And I had to call and say, I can't show up. Because there was something that just required more attention. You ever have those days like that? We all do. Listen, there are other times that we know that our schedule gets out of control. And so we must give our schedule to God and realize that He is in control. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 31 verse 15. He says, my times are in thy hands, David says. My time, Lord, are in thy hands. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Someone used the analogy that life, listen to me, and I like this, that life is like this. It's like sitting in a bathtub with 100 ping pong balls floating on the surface. They said that's the way life is. In other words, you try to keep them all under the water and you push a couple down and more just seem to pop up. And you know what? That's a great way to illustrate how life can be sometimes. It's very frustrating, can it not be? It becomes a little unbalanced when you're trying to balance everything around you. But understand that God knows, listen, this is important, that God knows what we're supposed to be doing every single day. Because He's the sovereign God. So we can make that list all we want. We can write all those notes that we want to write to ourselves. But you know what we need to do every day, and I have to learn to do this. We need to commit that to God. Commit our schedule to God. In other words, we can maintain balance when we don't allow our schedule to be the center of our life. So many times we allow it. We need to turn that schedule over to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, and there's a time to every person under the sun. God's in control of our life. Would you agree with that? So to maintain balance, we need to commit our daily schedule to God. And then the last point this morning, if we're going to maintain balance, and I think you'll like this, because these other things I've spoken on are a little hard to swallow a little bit. It's hard to admit. And this next one seems to be a little bit easier, but yet sometimes we don't practice it in maintaining balance. And you know what God would have us do? We need just to enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. To maintain balance. God, you know what God intends for us to enjoy life that He's given us. Yes, God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be joyful. God wants us to enjoy life that we have before us. And maybe right now life is not good, too good. And maybe right now there are things that are going on in your life that causes you to lack joy. But you know, if we let it, that can rob us of our joy every single day. But yet God says we need to enjoy life. Enjoy the moment. I like Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13 says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the what? The gift of God. Life is a gift of God. Life and all that it entails. Yes, even the good and the bad. All that it entails is a gift from God. Even in a cursed world, man is enabled to see good in all his work. You see, we don't live in the past, but sometimes we do, don't we? We shouldn't live in the past, and we don't live in the future, although we set goals and all of those things are important. But yet, God would have us to live in the moment. Because, by the way, if you realize you're not sure if you're going to be here tomorrow. I mean, I'm planning and I'm setting goals and I'm preparing as though I'm going to wake up tomorrow and probably go drive a school bus, leave the house about 6:15 in the morning, and I'll be back at the house about 7:20 to drink coffee with my wife and then go off to work here at the church. And I've got a schedule of things I'll do. But you know what? I may not get to do those things. You may not either. So what would God have us to do? To enjoy the moment right now. Enjoy the moment that God's given us. I guarantee you, some of you already think about lunch right now. Oh, you're thinking about that fried chicken you're going to eat. That hamburger. Well, if I keep talking, we'll have to say amen, won't we? Oh, Martin's, boy, they have some good old fried chicken on Sunday, don't they, brother? Oh, I tell you what, makes me want to go to Martin's today. Enjoy the moment. You know what? We may not be here tomorrow. Enjoy the moment that God gives us. Let everything that hath breath, what? Praise the Lord, God says. Enjoy the moment. It's a gift of God. You know, we don't live in the past. We don't live in the future. We live in the moment, right now. This is life. You see, even with the limitations of this present life, humanity should recognize in this moment that we live in, God's goodness. We need to recognize God's goodness. You see, living every day in God's sovereignty brings comfort even in a cursed world. Realizing that God has a sovereign plan for our life today. We just need to live in the moment and enjoy the moment. And there's comfort from that. We live in a tough world today. I don't know what's been going on in this world. I haven't heard the news in the last couple hours. But if you go home and turn on the television today, something probably has happened today that you maybe wasn't expecting to happen. But it's good to live in the comfort of God, isn't it? It's good knowing that, listen, we live in a cursed world, but listen, that doesn't mean we cannot enjoy the moment. We can't enjoy the comforts of God. If we aren't careful, we can become so out of balance that we miss the blessings that are here and now. We can. Of course, we should plan, as I said, for the future. But God tells us, you know, yes to plan. But it's kind of like making making our list of things to do. You know, if we plan for the future, sometimes we get so caught up in our plans for the future, we don't live for right now. John 10, verse 10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So if we allow ourselves to become focused on anything other than life that God has given us right now, then what happens? We run the risk of becoming out of balance. So as a result, we can miss out on the joy that God intends for us to have in this life. I like, again, as our closing scripture says this in Proverbs 14, verse 30. This says, a tranquil heart is life to the body. In other words, Solomon is saying a healthy mind filled with wisdom is associated with a healthy body. May God help us to put things in balance. And then when we do that, we realize every day we need to maintain that balance. Because you see, if it's family, you know, that's important. But they shouldn't be at the top of the list. That job that you love, or maybe it's a way to provide means, it shouldn't be take the place of God or family or anything of that nature. Life is something that, and I'm not Oprah Winfrey and don't claim to be, or some of these other people, but God has the answers. A lot of times people waste their time in front of their television listening to some of these people who just out to sell books and get money. But God has the remedy right here. If we would just learn and read His book, that would help us, and we wouldn't waste a lot of money on doctor visits and so forth. Not saying that there's not a need for that. But a lot of our problems sometimes in our Christian life is just to, every day we've got to realize, hey, I've got to maintain that balance. You see, a sound heart, one that is balanced, is one that is centered upon Jesus Christ. And as a believer, we can take Christ very easy out of the center. And as I said, we can put a multitude of things in His place. And when we do, we've missed it. We've missed the blessing that God has for us. Building our lives on values that last means that we concentrate on maintaining that balance in our life. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed?